Hello, and welcome to another edition of Interviewing the Legends, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency, devoted to promoting musicians and authors worldwide. Call us today at 941-877-1552 to start your free publicity evaluation. Remember, we shine only when we make you shine. Please welcome the host of Interviewing the Legends, music journalist, author, and entrepreneur, Ray Shasho.
Hello once again, everyone. I'm your host, Ray Shasho. Welcome to another edition of Interviewing the Legends on BBS Radio, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call us today at 941-877-1552 or email us at publicityworksagency.com. Remember, we shine only when we make you shine. In the year 1963, some high school pals decided to get together to form a group because of their love of music. After 53 years, several dozen albums, three of which became gold, one of which became platinum, and one gold single from a song known as Jim Dandy to the Rescue, which was told to them to record by no other than Elvis Presley himself. This group of friends still manages to stay together. After talking to Elvis about the song, Black Oak, Arkansas was told the following week by their producer Tom Dowd and by their label president, Ahmed Erdogan, that these two industry giants were also about to ask BOA about recording that same tune. Ahmed himself only personally signed five groups to recording contracts in his long, long recording history, and Black Oak, Arkansas had the honor of being number five. Many testimonials and awards have been presented to this band by everyone from Bill Graham to Wolfman Jack from the Midnight Special, First Lady Betty Ford to President Clinton. BOA has donated many hundreds of thousands of dollars to charities in their career, and both the mayor of Little Rock and the governor of the state of Arkansas even declared a Black Oak, Arkansas Day on October 6th. There is now a permanent display in the Arkansas State Museum and the Barton Coliseum in Little Rock, Arkansas, dedicated to the band. Like Arkansas continues to tour around the U.S. to enthusiastic audiences, Southern rock legends of Black Oak, Arkansas return with their first full-length album of all new recordings in more than 30 years. Founding members Jim Dandy Mangrum and Ricky Lee Reynolds have been keeping the spirit of BOA alive, and their songwriting partnership makes this album an essential release in the band's much-heralded catalog. Underdog Heroes includes a very special recording of virtuoso guitarist Sean Lane, regarded by many as one of the fastest guitar players to ever live and a member of the BOA clan since 1978 until his passing in 2003. Please welcome the legendary voice of Black Oak, Arkansas, Jim Dandy Mangrum, to Interviewing the Legends. Hello, Jim.
Hey, brother. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I'm here in Florida, and I think you're in Memphis.
Yeah, I'm in Memphis right now. We're starting a tour in July. We're doing the anniversary of the Woodstock festival that happened. It was so historic. But then they're doing 30 days after that across the nation and doing, remembering Woodstock or whatever. But we didn't make the first one because we were in Seattle, Washington at the time, being in a band house at the Golden Earring. We were there and wrote Hot and Nasty there in the bathroom. It was a joke song, sort of like the Titties and Beer was for Frank, another one of my heroes. But, this time we didn't rip up no bands or nothing, but Norma Bean, this guy that was at the overalls on in the big cowboy hat at the first Woodstock.
Right.
When they didn't have any bands yet, they had 300,000 people out there. He got them all beating on empty beer cans and everything else. They're like, yeah.
Right.
So since we didn't make, we put that in front of electricity. And it's like, they're really glad that we did it because now they want us to lengthen it a little bit and do crowd participation again. And I love crowd participation.
Well,
I love to play.
Yeah, Black Oak, Arkansas.
They should have never let me get away with it the first time.
Well, you influenced so many lead singers, you know. One in particular is David Lee Roth, who, you know, copied your style, you know, like to the T.
He can't do it now, man. You see him lately?
Yeah, I know. He doesn't look right.
He's still playing, but he looks like Dr. Smith in Lost in Space. But I like David. I always thought he was like Shecky Green of rock and roll. But Eddie used to always try to make David Intimidator bring me surprise parties. He said, I didn't know I was being a surprise and shit like that. And after a while, me and David realized what was going on. We kind of got, put me in their movie because every time somebody asked me, do you know David Lee Roth stole everything you got? I said, no, he didn't. I was there. I told him he could have it for free. Because, I mean, it's a flattering thing to think that, you know, that's what they like, that kind of style is from, man. At least I know the crowd's getting sight as well as sound. But after a while, they all, the ones that try to do that, they realize that if you don't love it like Jim Dandy, it's a hard road to hoe. It's a lot of work.
It is, yeah.
Because you got to love it a lot for it not to be work.
Yeah.
I love to play.
Well, you guys are great in concert, man. I've seen you a couple of times back in the day, you know, when you guys were at your peak. And, you know, I love to watch you guys. You know, I remember when you used to break your guitars. I think the last interview we did, you said they were Japanese guitars, right? They were cheap.
Yeah, they were Japanese guitars. They looked sort of like hollow body Gibson, you know, stereotype of SU, or was it now? No, it's SU, it's a solid body.
Right.
I don't know nothing about guitars anymore because I'm 71 and I got brain parts every day.
Hey, so do I, man.
I mean, I got my weight down, and Ricky's even got his weight down, so, because, I mean, he went to culinary school for 2.5 years.
Right.
But, you know, little by little, and he's a great cook. When I lived with him, I got to be jumpy dandy. When it was like taking my luggage on stage with me, and he couldn't help it. He just liked to eat to what he cooked. He got pretty big, too, but, you know, he's not like, we've been opposites all our life.
Right.
But he had long hair because he was like a surfer coming from California, but he's born in Manila, Arkansas. And when he came back to where he was grown up, when we was at school together, in the ninth grade and on up, before I got him kicked out of the public school in the state of Arkansas, I just before we since in the history of the state. You know, every public school, we couldn't go back to any public schools, our parents came for private schools, so it was glad to know they ruined our lives. But, found a loophole. This has been, we had that first interview in Rolling Stone. It said, we got to take the Stones at their own, and I love the Stones, I didn't even say that before I did my first concerts, but, you know, they said we was in the Mississippi Delta and all that, but I love the Rolling Stones. I think they're better now than they ever were. They're 5-6 years older than I am.
Yeah.
And they have 80-by-80-foot stages, not just 40-by-40-foot stage.
Right.
But, I'm just happy as hell that everybody liked it this time, you know. But I guess he picked the right songs. So now people, their fans, they said, well, where have you been all this time? I said, well, I've been right here. Actually, I guess I got ghosted and I was invisible for a while. But it's probably just picking the right tunes. We've always had a good fan base, and mm-hmm. I love our fans. I mean, we're actually self-employed, except our bosses are fans. We want to make sure we please them because it's a sacred gathering.
Yep.
And, you know, it's a sacred ceremony, and I'm proud to be the master of the ceremony. And you know,
well, it wouldn't be the same band without you. There's no way.
Right.
You're the man. I said it wouldn't be the same band without you, man. When you know a lot of groups today, they get these guys, you know, from other bands.
Well, Johnny did a good job, you know, with Leonard Skinner. You know, after Ronnie, and everybody said we can't be Leonard Skinner without Ronnie. Man, Sam, well, I'm going to tell you something. I said, Ronnie's in heaven being proud of his little brother because the fans are what makes a difference. If they think they want a band to keep going, to play, go hear the songs live that they're favorite, they, you know. But that's the fans that make the difference.
Right.
And I guarantee you, Ronnie's proud of Johnny.
Yeah.
And what he did.
Yeah, he does a good job. I agree with you. I want to talk about Underdog Heroes, man. I gave it 5 stars. I liked it. I really liked it.
Thank you.
It's got some great tracks
you know,
on it.
It's actually more about the underdog people than the underdog heroes that need. But, you know, I wanted to start it off, though, with that, you know, they freaked out in L.A. when I told them I wanted to do an Alan Parsons song about a robot, you know, Don't Let It Show. I
right.
always love that song. And so Ricky, we did it on a guitar arrangement instead of keyboard. And, but it's kind of a missional song for the heroes that, you know, this mostly thrust upon people like, they say I'm a legend. Well, whatever, because I mean, get you a cup of coffee at Starbucks. But, you know, anybody can be one. I'm proof of that. But I wasn't trying to do that because, you know, it don't bother me that much. It's just some people, because when you get famous, man, they feel like they have an identity crisis, personality conflict. They, you know, they don't think they have a personal life. And this is my personal life.
Right, right.
And, once we started it off, and then we get Shaman Spirits, I didn't know how, you know, even the, some of the people in the band and things wondering, well, this is so, sort of mellow, you know? But that was a dare. I did that song because a friend of mine's guitar player comes walking to look me in the eyes about 4 inches away from my face. So somebody will write a song called Shaman, and, you know, Shaman Spirits. And I'm going, well, I never turned down a dare. I'll go for it. I'll try.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was not that easy to do.
No, it's not.
I mean,
yeah.
It could have been a real long song. A couple of my friends that I've gotten high with, like Jerry Garcia, I didn't quite get them in there because there's a lot of people, 30-something people that have passed away.
Yep.
And I wanted to give it respect. And, you know, you got to remember your heroes. That's part of the theme. And it's a sin to forget the unforgettable. I tell them that too. That's part of the theme. It's got a lot of heart in this album because that Ruby's Heartbreaker, for instance.
Yep.
Well, I'd been talking to her about every 3 days or so. They give her 6 months to live, and it's a painful death. Having a brain tumor.
Mm-hmm.
It was in 1994. But when I told Ricky, he broke up because he hadn't been talking to her. You know, he couldn't write music. And back then, I didn't write music so much as I do because he's writing books. But, good one, so. But, it's, you know, all those people, you got to remember your heroes. And you got to be able to know what, you know, but we've all stood on the shoulders of greatness, you know, to get a look at, you know, to skip the light Fandango.
Right, right.
This is the only way for me. I mean, I don't know anything else. I've done this all my life since I was 17.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know I was good with big crowds until we went the third time to California. There you go, first few times we came back to the hotel truck. And, but the third time we had to stay because they run us out of town. So get out of town, like sunned up. But, it's gonna be, you know, for us, I'm going to be closure for like Ruby's mama.
Yep.
Didn't think nobody remembered her little girl and how talented she was. And on it, Sammy singing her ass off. Sammy, they would have loved one another. You know, both times I went because I was looking for a chick to be on stage with me. And both times I had a little bit of a reaction from not only the girlfriends and the old ladies, the wives of the band, who not did Ruby and was cut Sammy, but they finally learned that they didn't have to worry about that stuff. And, but, they were, I don't want to be background singers. They're going to be front people, you know, front woman.
Yeah.
And, it's good. She dances her ass off. Our voices sound good together. And on Ruby's Heartbreaker, and Ian with blue in the eyes, she sounds like, reminds me of Bonnie Spector. I swear to God.
Yeah.
And, it's got a lot of heart on this album.
Well, I want to mention
Sean on that deal and the others. Ricky wrote that.
Right.
And everybody thinks I like Lord have mercy. But, it was old-fashioned boogie rock, you know?
Yep.
Sean don't even come into the solo in the middle. But, it's like putting the future with the past. It was a wide gamut. It was very satisfying. But, we had a lot of great stuff on this album. Now, Wrong Side of Midnight, I've had so many people put that over there. That's like Dr. John and when he's in that snakey move.
Yep.
I said, oh, you mean, Trickery Gumbo, yeah, yeah. Better than I do. But, Sammy did great on that too, because I had this line in there where I was singing, but she's out on the street with Jim Daniel, and I was singing third person to myself.
Uh-huh.
She said, you can't do that, don't do that. She said, you go down. For years, I've made me two things I've seen you go down on. But, it's like, she took the front and did it by herself, turned it into a Jim Daniel song again.
Yep.
I like it. I kept it. That's great.
Well, I want to remind everybody, the album Underdog Heroes, which is available now. It was just released, and I guess you can just buy it on Amazon.com. But it's got some great songs, and like Jim was talking about, Channeling Spirits mentions a lot of great rock stars and legends that have passed away. And he mentions, you know, I don't know, you said like something like 35 or more than that. Rock stars in that song.
It's a song, and I didn't get everybody in there. The song would be too long.
Yeah.
You know, but I loved all these people that we lost.
Yeah.
And I miss them very much still.
Ruby.
Although they're not here, you got to remember them.
Yep. Ruby's Heartbreaker is to the Grand Funk Railroad song, Heartbreaker.
Yeah, but I asked permission from Mark, his great friend.
Did you?
Ruby also, and I said, can I just use your music again? I've changed the words a little bit. And he says, yeah, too excited, bitch. I wrote that about it anyway. She broke my heart. But, you know, we've been playing this since 1994 when she passed away.
Yeah.
It evolved to this level. And we finally put it on a product. And our fans flipped out saying, we're so glad you finally put it on a record.
Yeah.
And, we also, Tommy Bolin's song. You told me that you love me. Would you lie to me? I love Tommy. We had Johnny Bolin 35 years. He had a heart attack last year.
Oh, did he? Really?
We had to take him off the road, and he got a one of those pacemakers. It helped him a lot. He's doing fine. But then he hoped to have him back someday soon because he's my family. And his mama treated me. She loved me. And not bring me and mama's besides my own love me. But Johnny's did, and Ricky's did.
Yeah, Johnny.
That's him, Danny. He's a scallywag and hoogan. Watch out. He said he's going to get you in trouble.
Johnny's a good guy.
He always said I was going to get us in trouble, too, because I like to say the things that people are afraid to say. In the land of the free, in the home of the brave.
Yep.
You know, God, they're getting the word they won't let us have freedom of speech.
He
told me if I was going to stay in this business, I better just say a song and dance, man. That's it. For 6.5 hours without a glass of water. I walked into the trust book. We're doing a radio interview for Radio Free Europe, bro. Troops over in Europe. And I saw there's three guys, not one. They were real, and they're popping questions at me like, are you here to incite the insurrection or agitate revolution? Are you an icon smasher, a taboo breaker? I said, I don't really know what an icon is. I went and looked at that in a dictionary and found out, and I'm not one of them. I don't see myself, you know, I really get uncomfortable with praise and adoration after a while, but I can understand it because, I mean, I got to meet John Lennon, I got to meet Elvis Presley, I got to meet, you know, all these people that didn't seem like I was worthy of this stuff. And Waylon Jennings, I was as nervous meeting him as I was any of those guys because he had that kind of a man's man thing.
Right.
Luckily, he already liked us. You know, he said, man, you're cool. I always loved y'all. So you know what to think about you. I'd keep him that way if I was you. I had a ring of truth to it. But it's just been, you know, Billy Bob Thornton's one of my great friends. And we've known each other for years and years and years. And he was playing a couple of concerts with us back in the day. As he's played drums in a ZZ Top tribute band called Tres Hombres, I think it was. But he's been a kid. He tried to get me going to movies and do some movies and stuff like that. I said, that'd be fun, Billy Bob, but I'd love to do what I do right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm not saying I wouldn't want to do that sometime, but, you know, I'd probably like it better on Broadway where you got one time to do it instead of 17 takes. But, it's just, you know, it's got to be something scary or you know, sense of accomplishment. I mean, if it's easy, everybody'd be doing it. And, what would be the gratification? What would make you feel good, you know?
Yeah.
And if it's a little harder, maybe you could be more proud of it.
Yeah, I think you could do it.
I'm loving this album. We also got some great songs we get out here called 12 Bar Blues songs. 12 Bar Blues is about 12 bars from Beale Street.
Right.
For 12 bar tenderships you drink to offer your mind. I said, that's you. And I sounded like about 300-pound black man. I love it. That's what I'm trying to do. But Johnny Won't Be Good, the last song on it.
Yep.
He won't be good. That had a twist.
Good track. Yes, Sammy B is awesome. I'm glad you brought Sammy B, and she does a solo on the album as well, which I love.
Devil's Daughter. I wrote
Devil's
that
Daughter.
Song too. How do you like that riff? I was playing that.
It's awesome.
With an octave pedal and turned up to 11.
Really? That's awesome.
It goes to 11.
And you know,
I played on other songs, but it's usually just acoustical rhythm or something like that. This is kind of an electric road metal song for her. And, you got to keep your sense of humor when you listen to that, because, you know, actually, there's a lot of the devils in it. In Unholy Trinity, there was Lucifer, Satan, and Beelzebub, okay? And that's been settled a long time ago, but he was an angel, Lucifer was, and angels can't have babies. That's what they're so pissed off about. That he gave us, this is part of the creation, the ability to create. And, free will. We had free will. They didn't either. You know, angels are the dogs of heaven.
Right.
Bad dogs, you know, attack dogs. And also, man's best friend dogs. But they got upset about man. It's like he's giving us too much. Actually, we couldn't handle it anyway. That free will, I know what I'm going to do. The free will is a great thing. We can will it so.
Yeah.
That's
why
I'm going to shake the world like Morocco one more time. I Yeah, I got to. The devil didn't make me do it. Hell, I couldn't wait to do it.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought in that track with Sean also, because a lot of people didn't realize how great of a guitar player that guy was.
He was unbelievable.
Yeah.
He's unbelievable. He's like one of my sons. I was his legal guardian back then.
Really?
When he was 15 to he was 18.
Huh.
And he was a good boy. And when he was 15, he could run up the side of the wall, and do a flip. I was playing that kind of league.
Right.
With braces on his teeth and hair down to his shoulder blades. And it was something. I used to call him the Memphis Blur.
That's what
he always said. My dad don't have to pay me by the note. But he was a great person. He was ahead of his time. He graduated early.
Yeah, that's
and,
good. Yeah.
We've lost a lot of them.
I know.
All of them are younger than me. They all ripped out.
Yeah.
But I'm probably going to live forever and hurt a lot.
Probably.
They always say, you don't look like you're 71.
Nope.
I said, yes, ma'am, thank you for trying to say that to you, but I'm arthritic. I got pain everywhere, but I sing more softly because of that. But at the same time, I think that it's, my voice is a lot better. I mean, when I was on Top of the World, those 5 years where we won the top five money makers in the world, 5 years in a row, from 72 and 77.
Right.
And I had a bronchial condition of a two-pack a day smoker and never smoked a cigarette because I smoked too much hash with the guitar players and had a manager that wouldn't let me have no time off.
Right.
And even sounding like that, we became one of the top. But they still thought, he's a character, we're going to go out there, we're going to see him do it because I put him on a good show. I love my people, I'm going to give them everything I got. And if I don't feel exhausted when it's done, I haven't done my thing. Didn't quite do it, Like have a good love session with a woman where you just drain, but man, that's the best way to drain. And that's what it's like on stage because I love it so much. And I love my people.
Yep.
And we did meet and greet before they called it meet and greet.
Yep.
But I was a conversationalist like my mama.
Right.
And it's hard. I like talking about something besides cotton and beans. So, I'd be doing 14 interviews a day. And I'm doing them right now almost. I mean, this record company, thank God, really getting into it.
Yep.
Purple Pyramid, sort of like Atco with Atlantic.
Yep.
It's like a lot of Tommy Bolin records reissued on Purple Pyramid, too.
Yeah, I did a tribute on the radio for Tommy. I had Vital and Passarelli, from Barnstorm. And Tommy's brother sent me a bunch of CDs. It worked out really well. Yeah, Johnny, he's a good guy.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
He's a great guy. I love my Johnny. We used to say that when we wrote Johnny Won't Be Good, we go, he's into porno, and says he I love that song though. It's like the illegitimate birds of rock and roll. It's like between a black rhythm blues mama and a country singer,
Right.
And neither one claimed the kid, and she grew up on the streets running wild until it became an adult, and is a contender with everything else. And it's kind of like a nice little metaphor,
Yep.
They're all metaphors. Everybody got to keep their sense of humor. That's what John Foley told me once. I was most depressed time of my life. I've gotten what they call white collar crime. You can't figure out where it all went. Where'd the money go? Because you was out there playing too much. Didn't come home and check the books enough. And, it's like, they might get my money again, but it's going to keep me from doing what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
I told him, I said, I'm going to be mean. I'm going to talk about whatever I want to talk about. Freedom of speech is important to me.
That's right.
And, why is it everything? They don't like us. They're going to start limiting the numbers of people at concerts and stuff if you don't watch out. They start censoring shit,
Yeah.
And I don't really even believe in voting, to tell you the truth, because I believe it's the old money, not the new money like Kennedy's and Trump's.
Mm-hmm.
Couple of generations, but I'm talking about the old money.
Yeah,
they really do have something to do with the world, and they ain't gonna worry about anybody loses an election. They're gonna own both sides and let us both feel involved, keep the world peace happy. And that's part of what's wrong is all these muskets. Peace to keep change from happening. Change necessary for things to get better too. But it works for them the way it is. The needs of the few outweigh the needs of the many. The needs of the many are more deserving than any. That's in the Underdog Heroes. Yeah, I kind of like that song. But I use the voice in that, Devil's Daughter, because people, they said, why don't you use something like the Halls of Karma again? Because I was trying to keep it from being Halls of Judgment and, thing. It wasn't no, it was not meant to be no devil worship and stuff.
Right.
But
right.
It's like what man goes through. They're human. They got the push and the pull. They got the temptations. They got, you know, they got to get through life and be able to have a good death. To live right's one thing, to die right's everything.
Yeah.
And, if you can live a lifetime of being able to, well, believe, do what you believe, stand for what you believe, and die for what you believe, nothing can be more satisfying.
Yep, you had a good life.
You could always plan it live.
Yeah. Yeah, you had some really cool lyrics in these songs. What, you know, Johnny Won't Be Good, Today's Rock and Roll Isn't Doing What It Should. You know, I love that. It's just true.
I tell him all over, Johnny, it won't be good. It won't be good. We wrote that for Johnny Winter.
Oh, did you?
Away. I was going to send it to him, and he passed away. So
yeah.
I was here in Memphis, and we were always great friends.
Yeah,
and,
he's a good guy. Yep.
For a long time, for 15 years,
yep.
That I knew Edgar. I didn't think he liked me at all, but finally one day, he said, I always love you, Gene Gandy. I'm just not as personable as Johnny. I told him, I guess I waited 15 years, ain't I? But we're lucky. We had a lot of great experiences.
You sure have.
For me, I mean, I came out of nowhere. And
yep.
Nobody does anything but bombs where we come from, and nobody ever makes it by the time we're 21. And I was the fool to tell the band, what are you surprised for? It's our destiny. Hell, it's a miracle. And we went from nobody's stable or catalog, as managers would say. And we cut off the shelf, and it was, you know, all I have to say is the one thing we did admit to ourselves, let people know that we weren't pretentious about.
Right.
We know, we tell them, we know we don't know nothing, okay? Because it was going through it like the time machine to go to California or New York from where we were in Arkansas. But the more I know how little I know. I'm glad I found that out before I go.
You know, it is amazing, you know, coming from a little town in Arkansas and to make it as, you know, one of the legendary rock bands in history, you know, that is something.
You know, Black Oak, Arkansas, the town I'm from.
Yep.
They just got a $1.9 million grant.
Really?
Huh. As a tourist thing from the state of Arkansas.
Awesome.
Because of Black Oak, Arkansas, and John Grisham, who also came from there.
Yep, that's great.
His mother and my mother were best friends, but he was a lot younger than me.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going home, okay? They've gone medical. And also, what used to be boring is that I got a year-old child also, me and Sam. I've got to be a listener and change his shitty diapers and get food all over him, and I'm trying to feed him in his mouth. And I loved it, so I missed the time with all my other kids. I got a boy that's 20, or it's 53, one is 51.
Really?
I got a daughter that's 39.
Wow.
I got two boys that are 22 and 27 on the same birthday, 5 years apart. Now I got this year-old one. But, you know, Sammy, don't let this out. This ain't part of the interview, okay? Between me and Fish Post, she said yes, and we're going to get married in a year. But I don't want everybody to start worrying about it. I've noticed it before when I got married, sometimes it caused a lot of weird shit.
Right.
You know? But she goes out, you know, if I didn't make it to not work before, it was because I had wives that had to stay home with the kids. You had to have some stability, and I was gone all the time.
Yep.
Hell, I told them it's going to be hard to make it work, you know?
Yeah.
And I was never one that asked till this one. I think it was 219 times I asked. But I'll let you know when we're going to do it. When
okay.
We make an announcement. At least you can tell me. Well, I've known for a long time.
Yep.
But I don't want to freak nobody out. it freaked me out kind of when she said yes. She's great on stage. She dances her ass off, and she's kind of like a hero for younger dogs in her own way, because she always say she's 5 foot tall and she had to deal with bullies all her life, and she's little, you know, she's still a little thing, you know, she's over there. She's a good driver. But it's the kind of thing. Her daddy was born and raised in El Panto, Arkansas, 11 miles from Black Oak.
Right.
And she heard all this stuff for her whole life. And, you know, I just think that, well, when I see women, it's harder on women to make it in the world than it is men.
Yeah.
Especially if they're pretty.
Yeah.
Okay, if they're pretty and they're beautiful, they got everybody on their ass. Women don't trust nobody around you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just a hard road to hoe. But she's gonna be fine. She's gonna be fine. She's been a resident nurse in New Orleans for 13 years.
Oh, really?
An accountant. Huh. She's a paralegal.
Right.
She's 35, but she looks 25.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a handful. And so is Sean Whitty. Sean William. But he's a Grisham.
Uh-huh. Really?
A lot of Grishams around Black Oak.
That's funny.
But he actually, there was a string of Grishams. She went down to Mississippi whenever John went down down there and start going to school.
Yeah.
But, it's just, you know, sometimes, and especially in Black Oak's history, truth is always stranger than fiction.
Right, right.
I mean, it's the kind of stuff that can't be made up. It's just really, the story value is, means a lot.
Yeah.
And they, a lot of people been wanting me to write books and stuff like that. I said, well, somebody else better do the writing. I'll do the talking, but I probably have everything misspelled if I do it. Mostly proud of not worrying about spelling and lose my thought, you know. Because shit, if I don't write it down and I don't put it on tape after that,
yeah,
you can't keep them when you're 71 years old.
Yeah.
Well, did I write a song yesterday? What did it sound like? But, finally got better at doing it. We didn't know how to do arrangements to leave airspace on our first records because, hell, we never had no experience doing this stuff.
Yeah.
We are wild, chaotic, you know, the kind of chaos that we created, like the solo in the Hot and Nasty, where both guitars just start playing leads and they're not nothing to do with getting each other, to create that chaos kind of excitement. But then I became King of Crowd Control and Chaos, so glad.
you know, Jim, the last interview we did, I was talking about Hot and Nasty, and I really love that song. It was one of my favorites. And you said it was kind of a joke in a way, right? It was a spoof or something.
Well, yeah, you know, it was like Titties and Beer was for Frank. Anything
right.
You do too much, especially sex, it's not going to be special no more.
Right.
Jim Daddy would know.
Right.
But I would have never found out if I hadn't left Black Oak. I mean, I'd heard about fucking, I'd heard about sex, but I knew I wouldn't even find out anymore unless I left there. But, there's a lot of good people there, and it's a good place to raise kids. And now that they're doing this, I get over there and, you know, they have medical, man. you know, we've been smoking, Black Oak's famous smokers, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we never really did hard drugs and that kind of stuff. They called us amphetamine buffaloes when we first came out in the 70s, 69 and 70. And, I didn't know what they was talking about, even amphetamines. What the hell is that? Pills? Oh, goddamn. But, we were smoking more hashish back in there than we was anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And pot. It didn't make us 10-foot tall book proof, like I said. And we had a good time, but then we let the Iron Brother pot do it when I was playing with them. And they got up there and smoked this hash. They couldn't get on top of it. It was on top of them, and they couldn't hardly stand up. They couldn't hardly play their set.
I remember.
I
remember putting the hash on a pin and a cup or a glass over it, and then getting.
Yeah, especially if you go to Europe somewhere, go to Amsterdam, you got all kinds of pot and the hash and stuff, but they don't really. You have no paraphernalia anywhere.
Right.
You just take a shower out of a hotel room wall and make a bowl on the end. We had smoked under a glass on a safe pin.
Yeah, we did that.
I remember that. But it wasn't good for a singer to sing that stuff.
No,
I started saying, I sound like Captain Beefheart. Wait a minute. When I finally met Frank Zappa, we did a festival together, and we had a big hotel where everybody staying at it. This big restaurant, he's in the middle of it, and he stood up and said, Jim Dandy, come sit with me. And I never met him yet. He's one of my heroes. God, I couldn't believe it. But when I got to say, he said, I love Hot and Nasty. I said, I love titties and beer. It's been a great adventure. John Lennon made me sick in my stomach because he told me I was ahead of my time, and that the way I looked up to him and respected him, it made me nauseated. I couldn't understand, that couldn't be said. But then he let me know, he wasn't talking about our songs, he's talking about the way I talk to the people.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm on stage between the songs, I don't know how to sing, so I can talk between the songs on the microphone. I'm an agitator. It's taking change for me tonight. But it's just all you can do is all you can do is all what a man can do. And all I know how to do is what I've been doing all these years, half a century or so. And we've learned a lot. And we've still got a lot to learn. You know, there's always room for improvement. And if we all could help each other, help ourselves, we could help ourselves with whatever we want to do. Because it is a free will universe. We can with it. So I'll put my will up with anybody's. If I know what I'm doing, I believe I'm right, man. It's hard to kill, old Andy.
Nope.
It's easy, everybody be doing this. I've been shot at 5 times on stage, Joe, in my life.
You're kidding me.
It's a couple of times when I had threats and stuff like that. The old guitar players in Black Oak, Dirty.
Right.
Harvey and Stanley.
Right.
Lost Stanley and Jimmy since then.
Yeah.
But, Harvey goes, you know, some of them my side of the stage, they won't stand inside the stage. I said, that ain't right. But y'all better do what I'm doing, is stay in motion, be moving targets. And the first time I shot there was in 2008, Tulane University as a black guy, but just because we had those Confederate flags around the
visor.
Right. Yeah. That's something I never told them to do. I think, you know, the Civil War was an atrocity. We shouldn't be proud of it at all. I mean, we fought each other, and we lost more people killing each other than we did in all the wars put together in the rest of the world. It's a fact. And I'm just asking the rights again. When the rights first time, that's before the Civil War, you know, when they had all the petticoats and stuff and the racehorses and the pillars on their mansions, their southern mansions, because they had cheap help. And,
hey, Jim?
Jim,
what do you think about the people knocking down the statues and trying to erase history from the Civil War? What do you think about that?
Well, history is history, but reading history books, I mean, you got to remember, you can't let stupidity, that's what it looks like, if your pride makes you unfeeling to the atrocity that happens to young people in whatever color they are, you know. But I'm a firm believer that all lives matter, not just black lives. I got people that my life, just most important friends I've had in my life, you know, right up there, all my best friends are like a handful that went through the all those times when we was young, all the way to now, the ones that are still alive.
Right.
It can be done, and the people, if we want to bad enough, we can change this world when we change our mind.
Mm-hmm.
Just like that.
You know, I just feel that there was so many lives that were lost in that Civil War, and especially from the South. You know, you got to kind of respect them as well. You know, this because, you know, they fought for what they believed in.
By a guy that was from up north,
right?
The Yankee wrote Dixie.
Yep.
And the thing, you know, there was, that's a volatile but metaphoric. You know, it's you know. We had to go through that change, I guess. I thought it was really far out that the movie Lincoln and Jamie Foxx and what was that? The Django.
Right.
Those in the same year. Or, you know, because it's, you know, that ain't cool. Five people doing that shit ain't cool.
Right.
And no humans should be enslaved, or those humans should not have freedom. And we need more freedom. We need more happiness.
Mm-hmm.
We need more brotherhood and, you know, fellowship. We need to know our neighbors and not be afraid to know what they're doing. We need to have it for you don't have to lock up your house or your car at night. And it's just, you know, it could be so easy.
Yep.
If it's easier, but I'd be doing it. All I can do is try to make everybody happy, because I know that youth is angry.
Yep.
And when I think of the sound of angry youth, I think about how I like Rage Against the Machine and stuff like that. But sometimes some songs are not good for 300,000 people at a time, such as the second time they did that Woodstock thing. And these great bands in a different situation, in a different background, it was, you know, important stuff. But under circumstances, and always at that time of year, you have rainy nights, but it wasn't so hippie like Love, Peace, Fair Change, what you're saying. It was tearing down all the venues and calling them up for a big bonfire and turning into a riot almost. And so you got to have the right kind of songs, because if music is a medicinal antidote for the anxieties and animosities of humanity that's not humane, well then we need to write all kinds of different songs to have all kinds of different illnesses and for it to help out, you know. I don't know nothing, but I know that I don't ever give up trying to help.
Sure.
You know?
Sure. Yeah, you got a great attitude.
Find a way to do things that's right under your nose the whole time, but it's hard to see it when there's so many diversions and so many things to take your attention away from what you need to be seeing.
Mm-hmm. Are you guys going to do a big tour promoting the new album?
Yeah, we got probably be about 30 dates for this Woodstock thing we're talking about right now.
Awesome.
And so far we have 12 that's finalized, but they're going to send all of them. And I'm this helped me a lot, because it's good money.
Yep.
And for years now, talking about over 30 years, you know, I had certain people that, but when they don't get what they want, where they always imagine their heaven is keeping the star, firing the rest of the band, getting a bunch of musicians, giving menial salaries, and it's 50-50 with the manager and that star.
Right.
I wouldn't do it.
Yep.
And because it's insatiable. Greed is the appetite of greed is insatiable. We can't get enough once you start thinking about it. And got the bulls on the back of my head. It ain't first time today. But you, for people's price on concerts, you go see them. Nobody miss our shows. It's something that's, it is a sacred gathering. It's a sacred ceremony. And I treat it so because you see that I believe it so. Mm-hmm. And but John Lennon told me, he says, you don't talk to the people, you talk for the people. Rick has always told me, if you keep saying what they're afraid to say, but don't you want to know why they're afraid to say it? I said, it feels too good, Rick, you have to do.
Yeah. You
know? He's always been behind me, about 20 feet at least. And I never planned on any of those spots at the end of after we played in Rotary or somewhere down the south. And, you know, we had long hair, but they wouldn't, until we got the show done, they wouldn't miss, do nothing. But at the end of the night, we're packing up the van or something, I'd go meet this danger. And so my people would get that truck loaded up and come driving around, I'd jump in it. You know, I don't have to be holding them off long, but he'd be dirty right behind me, saying, walking right next to me, saying, you think you're going to have all the fun? I'd say, this ain't going to be fun. And he still lives right around here outside of Memphis, not too far, but he wouldn't retire from the road.
Right.
But he, I thought, he also thought he was one of the most talented ones in the original band. He sang better than me, but he didn't want to be, he didn't want to have to talk to him. He's apparently schizophrenic certified, but he'd take a bullet for me and I would for him.
Yeah.
And he's a great guy. But some people don't know him, get a little scared. He's a little bit, you know, they all refer to him as schizophrenic. But he was one of those big stage bass players, you know.
Yep.
By the way he'd stand and play. I saw him playing once. He was the lead singer of a band called The Lesters. And we beat him in a battle of bands. But I told him that night, I said, I saw you jamming on somebody else's bass the other night. And I got to tell you that you're the bass player that God says is meant to be with me and meant to be with us. What nobody knew is he always wanted to be a bass player. And he said, yes, I couldn't believe it because Jonesboro's a big city compared to Blackwood. We'd have been nothing. And, but sometimes nature takes a choice where you least expect it.
Right.
That way it gets to be more mature.
Is Sammy B going to be on the tour with you?
Excuse me?
Sammy, is she going to be on the tour with you? Sammy B?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She's good. She's family.
Good.
She's from back home. She's, we're
good,
moving
good
together back to Black Oak.
Awesome.
And, I know it's going to be, but the last time I went there and lived there, everybody helped me. And they respected that, you know, with people coming through, and they kind of make this a more tourist type of thing, because they want it's part of the history of the state. But that's fine with me, but they had a way of knowing that I couldn't stay if they don't have somebody there. If you can tell everybody where I am, there's going to be a museum there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not only, there's one side that's going to be for the town Black Oak, because it started in the 1800s, but also Black Oak, Arkansas, the band museum that's going to be there also.
Oh,
and
cool.
I can be there more often to see my fans as they stop by or whatever.
Yep.
But we're already collecting up stuff that we're going to put in the museum. It's got a lot of different things that's kind of interesting. Got most of them from Ricky because he's a hoarder. He can't throw away nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And me, I mean, I can't worry about it that much. I'm there when I'm done. I ain't when I ain't. God told me to stay off the grid. Don't do computers. And that's why I got specialists to do. You gotta have them because that's the way the world is.
Right, right.
But, I think probably so people would help me into some verbal power snatch and argument on, you know, we don't need to do that. People don't need to see that shit. And, all I can say is I blame myself for whatever we failed at doing. And I know I failed my children, my parents, and the automobiles to help them, and my fans, for different reasons. So, I mean, they expect me to be better, and I didn't get to really do what I thought I was supposed to do. And it's not that I'm ambitious or whatever. I feel like I'm not worthy for what I believe I'm supposed to do.
Right.
And our life has been full of divine intervention. And if, you know, I don't know how to tell people what it is, but it's a brotherhood. We've been together for a long time. We see all kinds of stuff. We had bands that we looked up to and were really, you know, they're heroes of us. We got to California and realized they were riding in different buses. They didn't even like each other.
Yep.
Shit like that, you know. Yep. It blew our minds. It kind of woke us up.
Yep.
But that last leg of them freebies out there in California, when the third time we went to California,
right,
they sometimes have 5,000 to 10,000 people out there. And I realized I was good with big crowds. I didn't know. How could I know? It's been kind of less 300 people. And I turned around and told Pat and Regis, we can do this. I mean, I know it seems unbelievable, but we can do this. They like us. We're like, mostly people that certainly remember when they went to Arkansas in I-40. Nobody knows where Arkansas is. It's sort of like the first time we went to Liverpool. We thought it's a great place because Beatles came from there. We went there, it smelled like dead fish, and it was a depression. Everybody's out of work.
Yeah.
And it made it even more amazing about the Beatles, but we realized that we might be able to let them have a few goofy daydreams about what it'd be like to be in Arkansas. Mm-hmm. Then we got that lodge around both those. It looked like Boonesboro up there. I mean, I took acid once and went down to that depot down there where there was a man-made lake, 1,000 miles of shoreline. But down there, and they're sitting in a boat at night, and it said, I looked up at the lodge from the top of the hill, it was humming. I got thinking about what the animals, you know, were thinking about. And we had a computer for our telephone system. It was bigger than the one they had at Mountain Home, the town closest to us. But computers were bigger back then.
Well, I got a few connections of Arkansas. One is that I had a store in D.C., a retail electronics store, and Bill Clinton came in. And I sold him a Walkman. My all-time hero is Brooks Robinson's my all-time hero. He's from Little Rock. And my wife was born and raised in Kentucky. And, of course, Little Rock's right next door. So those are my connections.
Well, you know, it wasn't too long ago in Little Rock, they had a statue of Satan.
Really?
All these metal heads and stuff put together. And, you know, that really kind of caused a bad reaction. I don't have to deal with that kind of stuff.
That's pretty.
You know, that's one of the things they thought Black Oak was, is metal.
Right.
You know, if you just a monster or some of that stuff. But we didn't want to, I didn't want to be a metal band. I didn't want to be any kind of band. Just whatever day I woke up, I wanted to do something different. I didn't want to have to, you know. That was told it's good to be versatile, but then after we came out, they said, by then, it's like you're confused. We still play, you know, we didn't do any of the countryside of Black Oak this time, but
right.
We'll get some more them after. We got one called When Rock Was Young, that, you know, we'll be doing them, but this one here, we picked out, we thought was the right ones, you know, for coming back, and we're proud of our old songs, very proud, but we don't live in our own shadow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and our fans were getting fan mail saying, do y'all still write songs, you know? Because they're making do all these best of albums where we had, if not, we might have a few new songs on there, but mostly we had, they wanted to cover songs and our old hits, like Chaperones and Date. But, I can understand why they're like that, because hell, nobody thought we'd ever make it the first time. And, a miracle happened. And, you know, it usually happens after everybody gives up on us.
Right.
You know,
right.
The last one gives up saying they're never going to happen. Then all of a sudden we've had them in spite of that, and they all said, well, who's always with you? And I always tell them, I know that. But you can see me, I was invisible at the time.
You know what song I like to see you put in the set list, and you might already have it, is Taxman. You do a great version.
Love Taxman. Dirty really made Tommy Aldridge work his ass off when you did that
it's
song.
It's great
I
tune.
I love the bass part of that song, don't you?
It's awesome. I love it.
George Harrison himself got in touch with the city. He loved our arrangement
really?
Than the Beatles, because they didn't quite respect me as a songwriter.
Uh-huh.
The guy who wrote something later. You know, but he really liked what we did. And it was a good jam. It was a good jam.
It's the best version. Best version I've ever heard.
Stuff out there this time because everybody's flipping out over it.
Yeah.
I've got quite a few new ones. Of course, we'll have some good energy songs and everything. How do you like Arkansas Medicine Man?
That's one of my favorites as well. I love it.
It's kind of like mystical.
It is.
But actually, a lot of people say, is it supposed to be about you? No. Actually, it's about Sammy's grandfather.
Right.
Her dad's father. And he was full-blooded Cherokee. And last time, we died here a while back, he's up on a reservation in Wyoming. And he was a shaman as well as chief.
Huh.
And which he's in touch with the spirit world quite a bit. And I missed my daddy's funeral. And if I hadn't have been choked up with, you know, when it's your family, I freaked out, and everybody was already gone, and I didn't nobody take me, and the car wouldn't start. I don't know nothing about cars either. But she calls up, and I hadn't talked to her since she was 8 years old, and on her cell phone, and starts talking, she says, it's Jim Mangum there. And she said, yeah, Grandpa, she's here. How do you know that? She says, don't worry about that. Tell him his daddy is with his mama, Mm-hmm. Since he and my daddy kind of vaguely knew each other because they'd see each other in the Pantone Caraways. My daddy was around them towns quite a bit. And like I say, the Pantone's only 11 miles away from Black Oak.
Right.
And I just, all I can say is I had a teepee once, 22 feet around and 22 feet high. I got it from Whole Earth Catalog.
Right.
And I'm fixing to get another one. Because I'm going to put it in the backyard, you know, for my grandkids and stuff, all them will tell you and whatever. But
sure.
I'm going to lock it and I'm going to get set up just right and smoke pot in it. And, you know, it's.
Smoke some hash.
It's a shame they're just now getting to where they realize it can help people.
I know.
My fourth wife, she used to say, she called it stupid weed. Yeah, I made a mistake to say, tell her what I was trying to compliment. I said, damn, honey, I could smoke two joints just to get on your level. She got pissed off and said, that's stupid weed. I'm not stupid. She also got to where she couldn't go out and eat dinner with me, even in the 5 days after the fact. Go to a restaurant and eat dinner in Memphis because they're all watching everything we do. I said, well, honey, the king is dead. The killer's in Nashville. If they want Caucasian or mother guy, and you're not supposed to notice all that stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not supposed to enjoy praise and adoration, but the people, the fans, they have to feel like they can tell you what means, you know, but it's not supposed to make us, you know, it's not a license to be an asshole, is what I'm saying.
Right.
And, you know, you have to treat your people good. And never, you know, you're in the wrong business if you ain't got time to give them autographs or answer their questions.
Exactly.
They won't never, if you ask them a question, they won't ever hear it.
Yeah.
and sometimes they'll ask a question, and when you answer it, they forgot why they asked or what. What was that the answer to? But good about us coming to Memphis here a few weeks. Been down on Bill Street here, a couple called the Tin Roof. And he always makes me be there.
Right.
I mean, he's been a good friend. He loves the new album, too. He's so glad that we did it.
Yeah. You know, and
like I say, that finally somebody, you know, the Fairfax people had enough faith in us to, when we put a foot down, so we're not going to do this anymore.
Right.
Up and we're playing the old songs again. We love them. But, and we want our fans to know that we got some new songs, and we think they're as good as anything we've ever done. Hey, I was so proud that they let us do it, because finally we got to produce an album that's doing what we think Black Oak, Arkansas ought to sound like in 2019 or 2020. And don't get your brows in an uproar, you know. Hey, sentimentality is one of the most crazily curious and mysterious kind of sensibilities to some. You know, you hold the songs that you remember in your young life, whenever you're in high school and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
These songs mean so much to you.
That's right.
That you we'll always play the old favorites.
Yep.
We got our old fans, we got our new fans.
Sure.
The new layers to the layer cake. And actually, most of the fans, the young people we have now today, and it's growing and growing and growing.
Mm-hmm.
Changed by the hill. But it's because it's like metal people. You know, our presentation, there's so many people in metal that talk about us, and when they say we're metal, I didn't, back then when we wrote the songs, we didn't even understand what they were saying.
Right.
And, but I like the power of metal and stuff like that, but I don't want to be, locked down to having to do anything.
Right.
You know, if they tell me I couldn't have short hair, I'd probably cut my hair. Not that yet, because I got an ugly head. I mean, I've got an alien head. But, it's, you know, I really wasn't planning on having long hair until they told me I couldn't have it.
Yeah, but that's your trademark, man. That's your trademark. You got to have the long hair.
Well, you know, it's, I don't know. You know, I don't see how people worry about stuff like that when there's not more serious things to think about than to just choke on the mat and swallow a camel, you know? We need to care. That's all we need to do. We need to care.
Yeah, but I don't want you looking like David Lee Roth. I don't want you looking like David Lee Roth.
Yeah, I've had people tell me, man, you watched David Lee Roth a lot, didn't you? I said, well, yeah, I guess so. But for a while since he knew me, he kind of enjoyed being younger, newer me, more than he should a little. And it just looks like he might have done more drugs than I did. I don't know.
I think he did.
But, I was flattered by, you know, seeing somebody that liked what I do, but I got a lot from a lot of people that didn't have hair as long as mine, you know. I did with my scrubboard, I'd go across the stage and do the story.
Yep.
Like Chuck Berry gave his guitar.
Yeah.
And when I saw Elvis, I thought he was having more fun, more cosmic fun than any human I'd ever seen. And of course, he didn't really write his songs or nothing. He wrote on one or two.
Right.
But his voice was always there.
Mm-hmm.
And he's king, man. He cut the path with a machete that we used to run down.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
But I could never understand why, like Nixon, I guess just because he didn't carry a firearm. And, but I can't go that route. I'm an anti-politician, although Bill Clinton is a good friend of mine,
mm-hmm.
and he used to come and smoke with us up at the lodge. This is true. And, but when he asked me about it, I said, yeah, I didn't inhale it.
You didn't inhale,
yeah. I got to laugh about it. Just mad. But he was the president of Normal. When I first met him, before he was attorney general, or,
right,
and before he was mayor of the whole park, so he's, before he was governor. Well, he's governor, he still would come up there and smoke with us at the lodge and piss off Hillary every time. She hated me. And he laughed about it. He says, she don't want to let you get close enough to start church. She's hurting your charmer and your charmer. She wants to hate you. I said, well, hell, I don't know what she did to deserve that. My mama wouldn't like that. And then they asked me, we had an interview a couple of years ago, I was with Orlando Classic Rock Magazine, and there's an interview. I mean, the interview was supposed to be over. I was walking out the door, and they said, well, what do you think? You and Bill, okay, y'all did smoke the other, and y'all were like, friends. What about Hillary? I said, oh, she's a redneck Nazi motherfucker. And they said, both of them. And then the show went to president. I think, well, fuck, guys. Y'all might want to leave, you know. So being the Alamo, put us in line. She's gone. Nobody blame me if you want to go now. And I know it's a little bit dangerous to be with me. And if they get you, be like Peter. Say, I don't know him. I don't know the guy.
That's funny.
What can you do? I'm trying my best. All a man can do is all a man can do.
Yeah, I met,
they told me they knew that I burned the lodge. We had that lodge up there. I said, but you can try me for it once. And some guy turned around and looked at me and said, we'll shoot you in time. I said, that's a good comeback. That's a good comeback.
Yeah, I met Bill Clinton when he was governor. He was at a governor's convention at the hotel where we had the store, and he came up, and that's when he bought his Walkman, because he was jogging. He did a lot of jogging, I guess. But he was a nice guy. He seemed like a real nice guy.
Bill?
Yeah, Bill. Yeah.
Yeah, he did a lot of good for the state of Arkansas when it comes to education.
Right.
I do believe he is the wealth of the world.
Yeah.
People's our future.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that they're so pissed off at everything that they, they end up fighting for the right to party, but how can you party and be pissed off at the same time?
That's true.
That's
true.
They need to start having more fun. Everybody's having more fun.
I agree.
And try to help each other get by on stuff. Humanity needs to be like the rainbow. If humanity, because the rainbow couldn't be a rainbow if all the colors were side to side.
Right.
Then we got to all realize that, we got to exist together. Government was not ever supposed to run us. Government was supposed to be a tool to help us all be able to coexist and make things better for everybody in a common sense kind of way.
I agree.
And politicians, they always kind of think they're special, don't they?
They do.
I mean, they get a lot of money for what? Most of them aren't for the common man and the needs of the many. They're sponsored by people that control the world economically.
Right.
And we're fixing to probably go into some kind of martial law or something, since they're trying to impeach him so much. And he has all these Mexicans down there on his wall. He made such a big deal out of it. And he sure wasn't an underdog. He sure was the top dozen least cannon, I tell you that. So we don't tell him what's going to happen. But it'll probably get much more better, but it will get better.
I'm
gonna make sure it does.
I interviewed Rich Little. You know Rich Little, right? The impressionist. Yeah. He says that what Trump needs is he needs to tell more jokes. You know, he needs to be more funnier, and people would probably like him better. He's always too serious.
Mm-hmm.
What's that?
Talking about me or Bill Clinton?
Actually Trump.
Oh, Trump?
Yeah, he needs to be funnier.
He sure ain't got much of a sense of humor.
No, he doesn't.
Ain't about that. But, I got a joke for you.
Okay.
You've probably seen our show, probably know it. Why is there so many Joneses in a phone book? Heard that one?
No, I haven't heard that one.
It's because they got phones. It's a phone book, not a Jones book. And then, you know why it's so hard to get Washington letters to Washington now?
Why?
He's dead. But, you know, I think they have long jokes anyway. You know, we're rock and roll. And I think it's only for some moments, so they got to, hey, kill time, I got a problem back here. Yeah. On the amplifier. You know, used to, where you say, I can't hear you talking to the audience. I said, well, you're sitting there and there's bored to death out here. I got to talk to him. You know.
Jim, on Ruby's.
I'm ahead of my time. I really freaked out, but yeah, I really started realizing that we're in a position here that is, well, it has a responsibility to it, you know?
Yep.
And, they got to have somebody check up for them and remind people that not to be forgotten. They're trying to erase middle class, you know, that we see that in the last two decades, mm-hmm. three decades. But, I have all my heart feeling. I'm still a moving target, not quite as fast as I used to be, but I'm pretty pleased with what I get to do. I don't do the splits anymore because when I broke my back and fell sick with the wheel and hit an oak tree.
Right, I heard about that.
Something years ago. Well, longer than that.
Yeah.
30 years ago. They found out when they were operating on me that, I was getting, punctured through the spine. And mm-hmm. I thought somebody else was putting that form of thing. My mama got shorter than my grandpa did too. But, I would have had a hump back. And I broke my left arm four times in the same place up here by my shoulder because I had a piece of bone that wouldn't solidify. They thought it might end up being a short arm. And I had buff teeth before the coach knocked my teeth out. We had a gap between them stuck out. And it might have been a little harder to sell tickets if I'd have been singing Jim Dandy that way. They hump on my back, short left arm, and buff teeth.
I think you're pretty
dandy
good.
World's a dandy life, and I'll have one more dandy life at least.
Yeah, you know, a lot of rock stars have hip replacements now. So you're not there yet, right?
Everybody, I was with a girl that took a computer before I was just saying, but went to it, and everybody that ever did splits in the music business.
Right.
Except they didn't know about James Brown, but everybody that ever did splits had to replace both hips.
That's something.
And they didn't jump off high places. And I used to do it when I wasn't getting paid for it to do a show to audiences. Like going to a date somewhere in a dance club and jumping off a balcony into the splits on a dance floor. You know, the harder you hit your balls against the floor, the better you look coming up. And I knew this, but I didn't realize that what I was doing was fucking my back up for when I'm older, you know.
Right.
Showing off every time you jump off against the balcony and shit with the knives. I'll live forever. Me and my husband, yeah, right. yeah, Iron Man, yeah. To the rescue. Nobody comes to my rescue.
Nobody comes to your rescue.
Come everybody's rescue. It is hard to get out of the rescue business. In fact, a couple of times.
Yeah.
Had a good plan scuba once, twice, my pants. They just wouldn't have it. They sit that dog and hunt. Sammy plays scuba with me too. She plays spoons.
Really?
And, kind of neat shit when all the electricity you show. When the electricity goes out and the lights go out, you have to pick up the scrub on the spoons and the pieces.
Jim, here's your final.
When I have an interview with somebody that I enjoy, which I have, and I thank you for it.
Yep.
But I sometimes run from out a little bit too much. I've always done that.
No, you sound.
My mom, I think.
You're a great interview, man. You are an awesome interview.
But I don't want you to hog the thing where you don't get to ask some certain questions you wanted to ask, and later on you go, "Yeah, I was going to ask it." Hard to get a word in edgewise.
But you told me everything.
I apologize for that. It's just
no, you told me everything, man. You're great. Here's your last question, Jim. And I asked you this the first time when we had our interview, I think it was a couple years ago. If you had a Field of Dreams wish, like in the movie, to perform, collaborate with anyone from the past or present, who would that be?
Yeah. Now say it again, if it's a movie.
Well, if you
had, in the movie,
yeah, if you had a Field of Dreams, like a wish, like from the movie, to perform or collaborate with anyone from the past or present, who would that be? Who would you pick?
In my dreams, somebody would be in my dream with me.
It's a wish. You know, you're wishing to, you'd like to, you know, sing with somebody or collaborate with somebody. Who would you pick?
Anybody, you know, anybody that's willing to collaborate with me, I would be good. I seem to make people together in the world for some reason when they get around me. I don't understand it. I mean, I know as many people that are safe and wholesome and law-abiding as I do the pirates and the outlaws out there that still love me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have great respect for the dangerous, most dangerous people in town. few years ago. We lived at Tommy Bowling Rush longer than ago.
Right.
But Tommy was a little younger than me, but I met him for the time. But we were in this party, and I said, everybody used to turn around, and he was dying laughing. And they said, "What's so funny, Jim Gordon?" I said, "I was just talking to Tommy." I said, "We're probably the only two people in this party that killed somebody in the last 2 weeks." And boy, everybody just laughed. I mean, they're crazy. But they're more civilized about it now. They say they hire out and go to the other camps where you don't have to know the people so much.
Right.
Killing's a lot easier to do than beating somebody up. It's not a murder unless you got a witness.
Right, that's true. That is true. Is there a clown story, a funny clown story with Black Oak, Arkansas?
Oh, you know it is.
I didn't hear the whole story. What is it all about?
Well, we've been chewing really hard, you know, and everybody was really getting this. I can see it's wearing on them. They're so tired, it's hard to even want to have fun. You know, you have to tell girls to go away instead of having sex with them because we just wore out. We didn't sleep. But we used to Asbury Park because they sort of play a boardwalk, so they got it done here. And we were playing an outdoor show, but we had this big dressing room, had like a shower and stuff. It was next to a sort of a gymnasium. But road manager brought these two clowns in, and I didn't know they were girls at first. But they had all the whole get up and shoes and everything and all the makeup and paint. And as they started taking everything off, so I was taking a shower because I felt I didn't get into it probably 8 o'clock that morning. And I was trying to get ready so I'd go out there and do my thing. And here comes that, and I thought maybe it might fuck them up if I, you know, would it be funny if I fuck clowns? I mean, sort of like the cannibals that got those clowns saying, "Does it taste funny to you?" But the makeup and everything was the white and the stuff off the face and the red off the lips. They start going in the swirls down, going down in the drain, you know. And it wasn't one of those things where I actually, they wasn't bad looking after you got all the stuff off them. But it wasn't because I was turned on by them. I mean, shouldn't do that if you're turned on by somebody. And actually, anything you do too much ain't going to be special in the morning. So
right,
that's true.
That's true.
I was never found out if I had left Black Oak, though.
Yeah.
I went a little farther than that for last time, but I didn't go as far as people seem to think I did. When I was a sex symbol, I was my third wife almost the whole time. I'm an extremist. Mm-hmm. Also, I've had the good fortune to be able to be a single man that, well, I didn't catch anything. I couldn't wash off soap and water. And there's a lot of things that seem dandy. You know, it seems like I have no limitations. No, it's a line drawn on a lot of things, okay? And, it's just, you know, everybody needs to love one another in a good way.
Right.
And in a spiritual way.
Yep.
And if they do it, their sex would even be better.
Yeah, that's true.
But, you know, it's nice for me to try to hold off so I can't stand it no more. I'm probably best when I do that. And most of the love is, I don't, it's funny because you can't, when they start thinking you don't want to do your fans because they hold you too high of esteem.
Yep.
And, you don't have to do nothing. They think it's great. You know, it's in your mind.
Yep.
I had a guy come up in a wheelchair too, besides the insects. Talk about it with people. So you want me to lay hands on him in Kansas City so he can walk. And I said,
really?
It might work. But it's actually you believing in me, we believe in God, and you can do it without me.
Mm-hmm.
And if I did it, I'd be open up the can of worms. It might be a hell of a diversion and a distraction to the point that the Lord tells me I'm supposed to be doing this for.
Mm-hmm.
It's a people's thing, you know?
Right.
It's a fellow man. Humans need to know how to be humane.
Sure.
We need to learn how to care and be thoughtful of others. We need to do the old golden rule without thinking we're put a sucker across your forehead. You know, we need to do it the other way we'd like them to do it to us. You know, treat them like you want to be treated yourself, you know. And we might find it's good medicine. I have a song I wrote called Good Memory Remedy. It's good memory remedy, because life should be a good memory.
Right.
You know what I mean? If we start trying to make more good memories and keep those, like, a record of those good memories to where they're precious and they're sacred, and they love all the sweet thoughts and write down the sweet thoughts because we don't have enough of them anymore. And just the simple things that we could do together that we've planned, we will really get rid of. God, please, and rejoice. That, it's a lot easier than we thought it was.
I agree. It's the little things. The little things make a difference.
Yeah.
It really does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jim, thank you, man, for being on the show today. Really appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Your pleasure to talk to you, buddy.
You too, man. For all the incredible music over the years, good luck with the new album. 5 stars. It's wonderful. I'm glad you guys are back. I hope to see you on your next tour, and please stop in Florida.
Oh yeah, we will. We definitely will. We also in 2020. We have a camp outside of Tampa, Florida. It was
a
benefit for Shriners.
Right.
Kids Park.
Yeah, Shriners are big down here. Yep.
Or something like that. But it's Shriners Masons.
Yep.
And it'll be in February 2020 on the 21st.
Oh, awesome! I'm 40 minutes from Tampa, so that's good.
Well, then I will be looking forward to seeing you.
Me too, man.
This is my cell phone, so when you
okay.
Come and give me a ring, and I'll put you on the guest list with whoever you want to bring.
I appreciate it.
You got to bring nobody if you want to, but I promise to behave, whatever behavior is. I'm not. I have no malicious intent. I don't understand why people want to stymie the will of good nature. You know, let's don't be so paranoid. We can't have fun with each other.
Well, I'll bring.
I'm not a pedophile. I don't care if she's half my age. It's not that. Most women are so pissed off by the time they get to 71, even if they're still pretty. It's like I don't blame them on their side, but it's hell to live with. You know, they just. Shit on so much, and they're just trying to be good, and they happen to be pretty too. I mean, it's fucked up, man. It just really is weird.
Well, when I see you, I'm going to bring my wife. You'll like her, man. She's from a small town in Kentucky, and she's right up there with you. She's something else.
Well, thank you. Have y'all been married for a while?
Yeah, 36 years.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
My third wife was directed for me, and it was 15 and a half years.
Right.
But I was gone the whole time. That's making fun of the
essence around. Yeah, it's tough when you're on the road.
Yes, Bob Hope once, when he was 60-something years old, he said, how did you manage to be married together in 60 years? And he says, we stayed apart.
Yeah, that works too.
Yeah, I'm not, a little bit of me goes a long way. It's kind of dose that maybe be a little hard for everybody to put up with, but I'm a little bit, there's wear and tear, and I'm not, driving me crazy, maybe a pretty short drive, but it's been a wonderful adventure, and no matter, I don't want anybody to feel sorry for it, the money I generated wasn't the money I ended up with.
Yep.
It's because of my fault.
Yep.
And I let down my boys that was with me, and let down my kids, my parents, and my fans. But I'm still here.
That's right.
I ain't giving up.
And
we're going to shake the world like Morocco one more time because we can. And it's a lot of fun to do. And it's not, I'm not looking to kill nobody. I'm trying to stay alive and keep my sideburns too. I don't think that any of us get to be having as much fun as we deserve to have.
Right.
And there's not enough lightheartedness out there. If anybody come on out there whenever we get there, we'll do it for them. I mean, we will make it to where they feel like someone's off their shoulders when they leave, and they feel better about it, and they won't feel as alone. I mean, we can do it, man. We can scare them just by being having too much fun.
That's right. Well, Jim, you're a good guy, man, and Black Oak, Arkansas is a great band, and we look forward to good things.
You're pretty cool, too. I'll tell you something, I hope someday to be what you see in me, that operation. I feel that when I see my fans, and if I could, I'm going to tell you, if you could figure out what they see you as in that higher order, that, and still be yourself.
Right.
You can quench their thirst, what they imagine, and have the imagination of people in the palm of your hand.
You got it.
That's a pretty responsible thing, too, in itself.
Yep.
But, it's, sometimes it can make it hard on a fella. I'm not no icon. I'm just a dandy. I'm just here to try to help people be able to see, through all the confusion and all the shrubberies. It's just, I ain't giving up.
Well,
good is not going to lay down for evil, and evil ain't as bad as it thinks it is. Or it, know, the dead, when they figure out you can see them, or by accident, that's the only way they don't know I can see them, because I know what happens. All of a sudden, there's 10 times that of the unliving that's going to come in. They all want to be able to be noticed. They all want to be able to say what they've been, you know, what's been bothering them all the time, why they couldn't go on.
Right.
And, I like that conversation, but, man. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is.
Crazy. But, you know, there's all kinds of dimensions that are in the same area.
Yeah, there
know,
is.
Of space.
Yep.
Black holes.
Yep.
Wormholes.
That's another topic for another conversation. Yeah, I could have a whole hour with you just talking about that stuff, man.
you know, also, you know, the North Pole and everything, if things changing, the center of the gravitational pull,
right.
The world is changing because of everything we've done. They say they're finding civilizations underneath the fucking ice caps.
I know. I heard that.
But also, we're losing the ice, and the ocean's been rising. They're going to worry about it in Louisiana and Florida. The beach is going to come on in a little bit. And California, too. The ocean's going to rise several feet in a short amount of time.
Yeah. A lot of weird stuff happening.
They're having floods over in Arkansas right now because nobody ever planned on two barges knocking down a dam somewhere in Kansas or Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Now it's coming to the Arkansas River. It's going to Fort Smith. My two oldest sons are there. My grandkids are all there. It hasn't been raining at all. All of a sudden, still we got flood from that big old giant wave from there. From, you know, it's us, usually us, that brings all the shit on us. We're the germ that's killing the world.
Yeah, it's a shame.
But all I can say is, don't give up.
Don't give up. Keep positive. Keep positive.
Just for all the kids out there, I am the underdog hero, and I am, I believe, a good citizen. Except, you know, I might do a couple of things that are questionable, but I really, I love people and I love children, especially with the young ones, the little ones, the innocent ones.
Yep.
And anybody that don't care about those innocent ones, well, I try not to be judgmental.
Right.
So I'm usually only judgmental on the judgmental. Judge not. Because none of us are perfect at all. Except for me, of course. Ricky used to say, well, it ain't always about you, Jim Daddy.
Yep.
Everybody can't be perfect like you are. I said, you're going to regret saying that. If I was a picture of perfection, the world's in trouble.
Yeah. Jim, you're a great guy,
well,
man.
I still got an ass that don't bounce it all in the room. I say that to you, but I mean, hell, this is, when I wore them goddamn pants, it's because we were stumbling through the channels on a Sunday, or my wife was, Nancy, my third wife, and I said, turn back to that guy. She said, what? I said, I know. But turn back. What kind of material is that? She said, that's good material. It's shiny on one side and dull on the other, and it's called spandex. I said, well, get some of that and make me some pants with back pockets and fly in them. And she did. And when I wore them pants the first time they saw them, it was the same week that David Bowie wore this all that spandex when he's doing Spiders from Mars on it.
Right.
And, when they got disco start coming, what they do, put back pockets and fly instead. But they don't, you know, they don't freak out over these football players and baseball players.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's true.
It wasn't because I had a big, you know, it's normal, but I had a lot of balls. I wasn't trying to show them off. It was making my job easier because back then there was bell bottoms, they had tighter to knees, and I ripped out my pants all the time, jumping and doing the splits. I started doing the splits. When we first started playing, we wasn't very good. I did that because it was a stunt that had everybody coming, whether they hated me or loved me, to come and see me bust my balls on stage. I'd take a step at it when we played a rotor rink. It was 15 feet tall, and go up on it and jump off of it. They were paying to come see us because of that. And then after we got good, I stiffened the police and said, well, let me do it. But they told me I can't do it no more because it's fucking up. And I don't want to do that. I understand. But I still kick ass and take names in.
Yep, you sure do.
Whenever we're up there for everybody, you know.
Yep.
And if they don't like it, they can eat shit and fucking, you know. I don't care. I only care for the ones that I'm standing here, they can go around.
There you go.
Two-year you're in my way.
There you go.
Go to the other side. Nope. Let the road.
Well, Black Oak, Arkansas is out.
I'm looking forward to seeing you.
Me too, man.
That's it. Where you at now, for these days?
I'm in Sarasota, you know, south of Tampa.
South Tampa.
Right. The radio station is actually in California, but we broadcast from Florida. Yep.
All right. I got to go.
All right, man.
Guys, enjoyed your chicken. Thank you very much.
Me too, Jim. Take care.
Nice to chat with you. Say hi to Sam?
Yeah.
Here you go. She's a lot better looking than I am. Hello?
Hey, Sam.
Hello?
How you doing? You're doing an awesome job.
Oh, thank you, man. Nothing to do with me. I'm just up there to kind of look cute and cousin. I hope y'all had a good interview.
We had a great interview, and, you know, he's the best. By the way, I love your voice. You're great on the album, and I wanted to tell you I love your version of Gold Dust Woman on YouTube.
Oh, thank you. Yep. I've been doing that song since I was like 8 or 9 years old of my grandpa's band, and so I took to Stevie Nicks whenever I was a kid. She was the one.
Yep.
And so between her and Pat Benatar, you know, and Joan Jett, that's what I did. Yeah, Janis Joplin too.
Yeah.
But there were so many influential female artist, and so I just try to do my best, and I'm just honored to even be a part of it.
Yeah, so, we all loved Ruby Starr, but you're definitely the one to you know, kind of fill her shoes, you know, in the band. So
thank you so much. She's a big idol of mine too, and I mean I love her to death, and I think if she was here today, that we would have been sisters. We would have took over.
I think
we
so.
We would have been beating them up on the stage.
One on each side.
He's looking at me like, what?
Well, we're looking forward to you touring together, and the album's awesome. I gave it 5 stars, so all good things.
Thank you so much. Him and Ricky is the one that was the mastermind behind it all, you know.
Right.
But he wrote Devil's Daughter, you know, for me. But
yeah,
like I said, I was just honored to be on the album.
You did, yeah. I love that Devil's Daughter. You did a great solo on that. That was great. Wonderful track.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, we're looking forward to more good stuff.
Critic, and I was just worried about trying to make Jim and Ricky proud.
Yeah.
I've been with them 5 years now.
That's great.
I don't know if he told you, my dad's from the Panto, and my uncle's and all from Black Oak. So
how about that?
A legacy thing is what Jim says, but I call it fate, and I wouldn't do anything other than what, you know, we're doing. They're a brotherhood, and I'm just honored to be a part of the family.
Well, Black Oak, Arkansas,
man, so.
The band's always been a family. That's what it's all about, you know, and then it shows, and all the friends, you know, that Jim has gotten through the years and everything, it's wonderful. Great thing.
That's what I call them. I call them friends and family.
Friends and family.
Because every single one of them, I mean, you get to know them by heart, first name basis, and I know most of their families and all, and they've been really great about embracing me in the band. And me and Ruby both had a rocky start, you know, as soon as we gotten into the band, of course, because we were women. So she got the brunt of the worst of it, and, you know, I went through about a year of, you know, people going back and forth, but really lately, like I said, it's like a familyhood. Now, I don't have any issue with people being mad about me being on stage with them or something like that. It was originally a problem with a couple people because I am 35, but, you know, for me, it's not about age. It's about the feeling of the music. When people come to a concert, they want to feel the music and not just see someone going through the motions.
Right.
So I feel every single word that they're doing on stage, and that's why it just works so well.
Well, you're a perfect fit. What's wrong with 35?
Oh, nothing. But when you're on the stage, you know, when you got you know, legends that you're playing with, and they're 70 and 71, you know, they a lot of people, you know, judge Jim Ford at first, and he used to actually have a girl that would go out with him, and she would dance or whatever, and they wouldn't even turn on her mic.
Really,
like the first couple of shows I went to, they looked at Jim and said, "We put her on a mic," and he said, "You better, because she beat you up before I would." You know? And he has been really lenient, you know, as far as what I can do or anything like that. It's pretty much like I said, the feeling of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's no yelling or all of us getting in fights or anything like that. It's pretty much a smooth sailing Monty Python show. That's what I would say it was.
Right.
And like I said, it's just an honor to be a part of. And I'm really humbled by it.
Well, Sammy, we love you. You're perfect in the band. You're a great fit. And, you know, I hope you guys continue to make more and more albums together. And, you know, I'm sure you'll be great as a solo artist as well.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And it's really good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you.
I did have a good interview.
All right. Thank you so much, Sammy. Thanks for being on the call, too.
No problem. Thank you for having me, and you have a great day, okay?
You too.
A great weekend, too.
My best to both of you. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Well, great interview, and we want to thank, special thanks to Billy James of Glass Onion PR for arranging this interview with Jim Dandy Mangrum, and of course the dynamic duo of Doug and Don Newsome of VBS Radio for making the music happen for each and every broadcast of Interviewing the Legends. If you have comments or suggestions for the show, contact me at interviewingthelegends@gmail.com, and please subscribe to my YouTube channel, Interviewing the Legends with Ray Shasho, for the very latest interviews. It is real news, people. I want to also mention, for more information about Jim Dandy Mangrum in Black Oak, Arkansas, you can visit www.blackoakarkansas.net and also www.facebook.com/RickyLee.Reynolds. And please buy the 5-star latest album from Black Oak, Arkansas, entitled Underdog Heroes, at Amazon.com. And also, don't forget to purchase a copy of my book entitled Check the G's, at the True Story of an Eclectic American Family and Their Wacky Family Business, available now at Amazon.com as well. You'll live it. Have a great week, everybody.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to Interviewing the Legends. Brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call 941-877-1552 or visit us at publicityworksagency.com. Specializing in author and music artist publicity plans. We shine when we make you shine. Tune in to Interviewing the Legends every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific Time on VBS Radio, Station 1.